games, gear, grills. Welcome to the Geek Grills Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to episode 137 of Geek Grills. The Geek Grills Podcast is supported primarily by our patrons. You can find us at www.patreon.com/grills. I am Linda, and I am joined by my co-host September, also known as 9 of 12.
Hello there, folks.
The Jen wasn't able to join us tonight, but hopefully she'll be with us recording again next week. So we're just going to keep rolling along. So what have you been up to this week, Ember?
Well, I went to Heroes Con in Charlotte with my friend Vinod. That was super fun. I saw some really epic things, like a big line dancing, like Cupid Shuffle broke out. Somebody had music. And so I have these great pictures of all these people in cosplay dancing. So it's like
nice.
Deadpool and Doctor Who and this giant Dalek and like just so many different characters. And then I went down and I tried to catch a little video of it on the floor because I was up above the floor looking down on the con for a little bit when I first spotted this going on. So I went over to take video of it. And unfortunately, just after my video stops, I hear the crowd and they're like hitting save and the crowd goes wild. Because Jesus had joined in. And he's like rocking it. Oh my gosh. It was hysterical. It was like one of the coolest things I've ever seen. Went to Salisbury Pride yesterday with my gay husband, Scott. We have gone almost every year since that started. And that's coming up on 10 years, I think, next year. So that was a lot of, that was cool, fun, as usual. It got rained out at the very end. There was, like, the organizers had to make an announcement that the storm was coming in and the fire, like, EMS was warning them to batten down the hatches. Yeah. And so, you know, the wind kicked up and the PA guy made the band stop and Scott and I started collecting chairs and putting them away for, just because we've organized enough events that you just kind of automatically do things. We got that Xbox Ultimate Game Pass. Because you can get it for $1 now, that E3 special. So we're giving that a go, and that's, my husband's just using it like crazy right now. I've only played one game on it so far, but he was trying Monster Hunter World today and something else yesterday. It really does give access to a whole lot of different games. I haven't used it on my PC yet. Dumbass didn't listen to me. I told him I'm the only one in the house right now who PC games at all, so please sign it up with my account. And he didn't. He did it on his. So although at least it spreads, unlike the stupid Nintendo one, where if you sign up for the pass, it's only on the one account. Right. It's not shared to the device at all. The Xbox one is sort of. We still have to log into his account to actually download any games. But then once you do, you can play them from the other accounts.
Okay.
So
at least there's that.
At least there's that. But to do any of it on the PC, and I really want to test and make sure that works and see what's available in that format, I'm going to have to log into his Microsoft account.
Annoying.
Yeah, annoying, and he never remembers the password, and yeah, duh, that was some dumb shit to do. No one ever listens to me. Like, they all hear, I'm convinced my sons and my husband hear, like, the first half of whatever I'm saying and then just kind of trail off and assume they think they're what I was going to say. It's just so many little inaccurate things. I got my surgery scheduled for July 11th.
Okay.
So, for those of you out there that have not heard, I have a giant ass polyp that covers basically one entire side of my vocal cords. So, if anyone's noticed, my hoarseness getting more and more. I mean, I lost my singing voice, like, many years ago, but it's just been on the slow decline, and finally found that there's actually a reason for that. So I'll be able to record 2 more shows before the surgery, and then I will have to be off on at least the 14th, because there's going to be 7 days of at least 7 days of complete silence from me. The recovery, if I talk, it'll end up with scar tissue where the incision has to be, which will behave the same way as the polyp does.
Yeah.
Undo what they did.
Just need to get yourself a big old whiteboard and some markers and just, you know, squeaky, squeaky on it, and then put it up to your husband and your kids.
Yeah. I was thinking about that, and I was like, oh, I wish I had a way to hook my Stream Deck or something to a speaker, like had a little push button I could record common phrases.
Yeah, there are some decks that do that. Like, I know there's a couple of streamers and just YouTubers that have recorded themselves saying things, and they just, like, push a button, and it just, it's their voice, but it's not actually them talking.
Yeah, it's like, need some kind of key fob where I could just...
Yeah.
Especially because the dog, I don't know what in the world I'm going to do about the damn dog. Like, crap. Because I can't tell him, give him commands.
Record it on your phone. Record it on your phone, just recording you saying voice sit memo. Or lay down. And then just press the button.
Stupid. Stop it. Get out of the trash. There's... Yeah, mostly a lot of sit and crate and no teeth, because we're breaking him of mouthing.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of a pain in the butt. But anybody who wants to help me, by the way, turns out my responsibility is going to be well over $5,000. I've had some very generous, kind people donate online to help me with this expense that I may be paying off forever otherwise. But you can go to HTTPS... basically tinyurl.com/help9. And it's N-I-N-E. So, any of you love me, I appreciate any little bit of help. And, Wizards Unite. That's in there, too.
Yes, I was going to say.
Have you been playing the new Pokemon Go for Wizards?
I actually have not downloaded it. I was in the kind of the first... wave of people that downloaded Pokemon Go, and it had so many problems. I'm waiting. I know that they did, that was their test run, sort of. It's the same people that made Pokemon Go. So I'm sure it doesn't have as many bugs, but I'm going to wait.
It is really smooth. I think because Warner Brothers is involved, they had a lot more resources to throw at it.
Mm-hmm.
I've had almost no problems. The only potential might be a bug, not sure, is it seems to want me to, it gives me a little red dot, you know, you have to something to do on my portrait every day. Like, it wants me to change my portrait every day. And it doesn't go away unless I take a new picture. But other than that, it's a lot of fun. It's way more complicated than Pokemon Go. Like, you don't just have stops and gyms. You've got, stops are kind of, they're in taverns, and you stop and you eat. And then there's these big fortresses where you can go fight. And instead of like just a gym battle against a thing, there's a bunch of little creatures in there. You can go in there together. You can use skills to give them disability. You can use potions to augment your spell casting. You can choose what tier you fight at, depending how many people you have and stuff. And then there's greenhouses where you can pick up plants and drop off plants. You make the potions in this game from collecting materials.
Interesting.
Yeah. So really nifty and cute, and a little story goes along with it. And you can't just keep walking. You kind of do have to stop because it's more complicated. Like, you're not just throwing Pokeballs with your thumb as you walk along. Because you have to stop and trace, like, your spell in your air, you know, well, not in the air, but on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's maybe not as good for, like, a good, solid exercise-type walk. We drove our dog nuts, stopping every 2 seconds, trying to take him on a potter walk. That didn't work.
It sounds to me more like they had AR... in Disney World, where you could do things. I'm sure it changes like every year or so, but when I was there on the honeymoon, we basically collected these cards that were spells because you were helping defeat the villains around the Magic Kingdom. And so you had cards that were spells, and then you put them at the place and they scanned it with like the little QR code. And it seems more like cool. That than Pokemon Go. Yeah.
Yeah, the only really relation to Pokemon Go that this is, it is way more than just they didn't put another skin on. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, Ingress is quite different than Pokemon Go too, but Harry Potter is kind of next level, a whole lot more gamified. The only thing it's really related is, like, just like Ingress was, they're just using the map.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's cool. I'm glad that they're not... I'm glad it's not just a carbon copy with the numbers filed off.
Right, you're not catching a bunch of magical creatures, right? They could have done that with the last couple Potter movies or something, and just you'd be catching creatures. But no, it's not that at all. It's a whole plot about confundities and some wizard has cast a spell and they're stealing things that are of emotional value to wizards, and you're recovering stuff like for Hogwarts, for the Room of Requirement, for the Ministry. Harry and Hermione, like, are bigwigs in the Ministry. You get to hear from them now and again. You get to save, like, Moaning Myrtle from Trapped in a Jar. You know, lots of cute little stuff.
Cool.
For the Potter fans. Speaking of which, look at my... I got new earrings. I got little dangly...
Oh, cute.
Hee.
Deathly Hallows.
Yes, Deathly Hallows.
Deathly Hallows. For those of us who are listening later, they are little Deathly Hallows.
I have Deathly Hallows earrings. I got them at Pride. Go figure.
Yep.
So what have you been up to?
Well, last weekend was the Garden of Destiny's LARP one day. I had a lot of fun because I got to go up. They had rigged like a place inside the building we were that was like a stage, and they had made curtains that opened and closed. They're very inventive and using like pipe and curtains and rigging it up with with like bungee cords. So like we actually had a stage area where the curtains opened and closed, and we had like amps and things, and we could plug in background music, so we had like you could have like karaoke behind you and you were singing. So I got to perform and it was all real cool, and we got to take down the demon bitch and I was so happy.
Yay.
There was a point where two of our plot staff had fully makeuped up. Like one had like full red and the other was full pink. Mm-hmm. Because that was their NPCs. So the red one was the bad one, and the pink one was the good one. And they did basically like a cutscene so that we could see like plot and what was going on, and then we could start to plan. And in my head, I'm going, okay, this is where the big battle is, because they did not put on all that makeup just to do a cutscene. The big fight. So that was really cool. And of course, it was like one day, so I got to like dress up really, really fancy and do all my makeup, and I had fun.
Sounds great.
Yes, it was a lot of fun. I actually have a plushie update.
He's so fluffy, I'm gonna die!
I have a unicorn plushie that I made for as a commission.
Super adorable.
Yep. She's very, very cute. She sits down and she's a little doofy. Kind of looks like she's shrugging, like, eh, I don't know. But yeah, I got commissioned. This is all made of like baby yarn, so it's super soft because it's for a newborn. So I'm really happy with how that came out. Super, super cute. And I now own the pattern because I bought it, so I can make more. If there's a pattern that I really like I will go ahead and it's for sale, I will go buy it rather than try and like jerry-rig one for free, just because I know that the folks that make patterns put a lot of work and effort into it. So You know, if you do the crochet knit thing, don't be stingy with buying patterns. I mean, if it's like $10 and you think you can make it on your own, make it on your own. But if it's really intricate, and I think this was like $4 for the pattern, it's worth it. So
oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'll get off my soapbox now.
I can see you make a whole lot of those.
Yeah, they're super cute. And I think their only stipulation was that, you know, please credit my pattern. And I'm like, yep, done. Will do.
Yeah, that would be another nifty thing that you could do. Like, what did you... You made a bunch of pride critters.
Owls.
Of some, owls. You could
pride
totally
owls.
Do that with unicorns. Like, just do the horns or whatever.
Or the hair.
Or just the make, hair. Yeah.
Make all the hair the different colors.
Definitely. Those would sell like gangbusters.
Definitely for the next big convention I do, I'm going to do all the pride owls. So we'll see. Maybe I'll have a magical creatures corner at my booth and have a bunch of pride unicorns.
I'd have to get a pride unicorn.
And then I've also been working some more on my, Pink Diamond cosplay. I've got the back of what I'm affectionately calling the crotch triangles. I've got that done. Well, it's like, so if you look at a picture of Pink Diamond, like the way that her pantaloons, her bloomers, I guess, the way her bloomers are, is
those
that
old fashioned words.
Okay. Yeah, it's,
her bottoms, whatever.
I don't want to call them shorts because that just sounds silly. But the way that her bloomers are is that the middle part is this dark color, and then the actual like part around her legs is the brighter pink. And so I made the shorts, and then I'm just like, well, I'll just you know, make that middle V section in the dark color and sew it on later. So now that's, you know, in the middle of what I'm doing is I'm making the crotch triangles. So and then I've got I'm making her pink gloves. So this is...
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at a picture. I see what you mean there.
Yeah.
It's almost like it's a bodysuit, and then she's got these leg things pulled on over it. Like...
Poofed. It's a lot of poof.
Poof.
So the... I'm going to do them fingerless, even though she doesn't have fingerless gloves. I don't like being at conventions with gloves on because I can't get to my phone. I can't...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
...feel things. So I'm in the middle of doing these, and I'm really happy with how they're coming out because I'm not doing just a, like, solid, you know, stitch around. It actually has a little pattern on it, so they're turning out real pretty. And hopefully that should be done soon. Like I said, I've got the back done. I just have to do the front now. So there's the back of it. It doesn't make a lot of sense by itself, but there it is.
Big triangle. Do-do-do.
Big triangle. Goes over my butt. Okay, now. And then because I don't have enough to do, I also started a rug. Yes, we're going to call this a rug. It's a star pattern rug, because I don't have enough crochet projects. I only have three. I can add another. So.
I understand.
I guess that's what I've been up to. I've been doing a lot of crochet and some writing. Not as much as I would like to, but some. So I guess we could move on now to the Geek Grapevine.
To Steve, assemble! Geek Grills Grapevine.
What have you got for us?
Well, oh my gosh. I was so excited about this story. I was just giddy because, as you all know, I love me some Robert Downey Jr. and he's, like, everybody was... I'm sure everybody's seen by now, but he's turning into actually freaking Iron Man. Like, he's worth a lot of money, and he started this climate change group and everything else. Well, right here in North Carolina, there was this girl, Paige Winter, who was attacked by a shark. She's in the mm-hmm. hospital over in Greenville. And while she's still in the hospital, Robert Downey Jr. goes online and he makes a video message for well wishes for Paige Winter on his official Instagram page, tags her Instagram post, and then he's in character. He's talking like he's Tony Stark. He's in this, like, well, you know, I'm kind of in this, I recruited this Parker kid, and I guess I'm stuck in recruitment mode. But he offers this girl a job, like, as, wants to appoint her the ambassador of his footprint foundation that he's starting. Like, that is the coolest thing.
That's so cute. I love it.
And she was like, I saw pictures of her on the news, and she's just like, squeak! You know? I'm trying to remember what color her hair is. She's like pink hair, blue hair, or something. Like, very, you know, young girl.
I mean, it was a pretty awesome thing to happen. If I got a message, a tweet, or an Instagram message from, like, my favorite, you know, movie star, I would probably flail. Like, I have.
Yeah, she's got, like blue hair.
If I'm meeting them in person, like, I have this thing of, okay, be cool. If you're meeting a star in person, just treat them like a person, even if you're, like, flailing on the inside. But if I got a message or something, I'd just be like, what? And just run around the house.
Yeesh. Yeah, I don't even know. I have a concern, though. I mean, this is going to sound like a weird thing to say, but him being... knowing his history, like, he had a problem with addiction and stuff back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Is he stuck? I think he might be stuck in character. Like, this... his method acting has now gone too far. The contract's over. He's not going to be Iron Man anymore. And now he's in real life, like, creating a foundation, then reaching out in this video to point somebody, but he's doing it in that character. I'm like, I mean, it's better than turning back to the smack, but I'm a little worried about John.
I'm sure he's okay. He's just... I don't know.
I mean, you've done shows and, you know, whatever. It's like that show drop thing. Can you imagine playing that kind of character for that long and then have, like, it's gone?
Oh, yeah. We call it LARP drop because it mostly is like after LARPing, and it's like, oh, again, I'm not my character anymore, and you're just like, oh, real world. And so, yeah. I don't know, maybe you might be experiencing a little bit of that.
Like a little, like, extreme version of that. So what have you got here?
Well, apparently, they have caught on camera a 12-foot giant squid off the coast of, in the Gulf of Mexico.
Oh my gosh, release the Kraken!
Yeah, like, so I know there's been ones that they have gotten pictures of that are bigger, but it's interesting just because it's very close to America, like, closer than any of the others that have been seen. And it's just, it's interesting to me because they were using this new, like, rover.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically has a stealth mode. And they think the reason why they haven't been able to get good pictures in the past is because all the other rovers have, like, had bright lights on them. But this one basically was just, like, going through the water, pretending to be a fish, and then the squid was like, that looks tasty. Nope. And then went away.
Ooh, that's a big bugger. You know, I'm starting to worry. I think they, I don't know. I mean, maybe the other rovers are scaring it away. Maybe stuff is just coming to get us.
I don't know, maybe.
I mean, this girl, this 17-year-old that was attacked here in North Carolina not long ago, this was, an unprovoked attack, which you always hear, like, oh, but it's really rare. Oh, you only hear about shark attacks, you know, because they're exciting and it doesn't happen often. Google it and look. The North Carolina coast has just, there's lots and lots and lots of sharks really close to the coast right now. There have been more shark attacks than I've heard of, I mean, ever in, like, the, I don't know, I've been 17 years here now. Mm-hmm. I've been seeing, like, friends of mine that go out to the coast, to the beach all the time, and, like, just taking pictures. You can see it right there from the shore. Just all the sharks are coming in. And now there's this giant squid right there in the Gulf. I'm like, it's gonna be some kind of uprising. We're just fucking up their ocean too bad.
If it makes you feel better, the scientists did, like, write this blog post, and they were like, let me see, where is it? This is a quote. This suggests that the animal does not like bright lights of the ROVs, and that stealth monitoring of the sort possible with the Medusa, which is what they called the rover, can also allow us to see what's never been seen before.
That's comforting.
Yeah, in the blog post, the scientists also wrote that the squid was spotted in an area that was often depicted in old maps as containing monsters, with warnings to sailors at sea, or warning sailors in the area. And they said, "We did not find a monster. The giant squid is large and certainly unusual from our human perspective. But if the video shows anything of the animal's character, it shows an animal surprised by its mistake, backing off after striking at something that at first must have seemed appealing, but was obviously not food." So maybe that makes you feel better.
Yeah, there be monsters.
Mm-hmm. I think I found that super funny, that it was like, yeah, in the old maps,
yeah,
this was the spot where they were like, beware.
It's like, we thought they were just superstitious.
Mm-hmm. Turns out, there may have actually been things.
Yes. Big, nasty cephalopods.
Yep, it says, the largest of these elusive giants ever found measured 59 feet in length and weighed nearly a ton. So
59 feet.
They big.
No.
No. you're just like, no. I refuse.
Let's not do that at all. I'm not swimming there. Like 20 yards. They're like where the 20 yard line is in a football field. Holy. All right.
And their eyes are like 10 inches across. They're big. So I like stuff about the ocean. I know sometimes people get kind of scared by it. I personally don't ever want to go swimming in the deep ocean because I have a weird, I'm sure it's got an actual name, but like an agoraphobia of the ocean, where it's like, there's nothing to this side of me, there's nothing to that side of me, there's nothing above me and nothing below me but water. Hmm. I would not do well. I would not.
See, I just don't like swimming in the ocean. I don't like the, oh, it's, first I ever swam in the ocean, I remember getting out, and like, you know, you dry off, and then I went to take my suit off, and like, it was all flaky, like the salt will actually crust on you. And there's so many, like, scary, can hurt you live things in there, so I'm not really comfortable in the ocean. We go to the beach, and I'll walk along, you know, and I mean, I might swim a little if it's really hot, but mostly just kind of walk along, get my feet in it. I love lake swimming. I grew up swimming in lakes, and the waves, and it's so much fun.
You're not scared of Ogopogo?
No, I am not. Thalassophobia, by the way, is the fear of the ocean.
Well, it's not, but I'm not scared of the ocean. I'm just scared of being in a diver's suit in the middle of the ocean. It's so weird. Like, I like looking at the ocean. I like, you know, putting my feet in. I'm not scared of it. I loved swimming when we were in the Caribbean because the water is crystal clear and you can just see all the way down to the bottom.
So it's the deep dive idea.
Yeah, it's just the deep dive. I'm just like, ugh. those squids can live where they want to live, and I don't want to go
a little scuba in a pool. I might be interested in a submarine, but like the idea, the pressure is a scary idea. Right, if something goes wrong, and then you're screwed. If you have to go quickly surface, you're just gonna have the bends. It's gonna be horrible.
That
could be other people's job.
Yeah, I might be okay in, like, a submarine because I'm in an area where there are other things around me besides just water. Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe you get to try someday.
I will probably get more stuff about the ocean if I find it, just because I like it. So I guess we can get into our discussion topic.
Yeah.
We are going kind of old school, not really, because I think it's being put back into curriculums now. But we're talking about home ec. And strangely enough, like, I actually gave it some thought. I don't think home ec was offered in my high school.
Really?
Like, I don't think we had the facilities for it. There was no place where they had, like, ovens. There was no... I don't remember it being offered, like, because I'm pretty sure I would have taken it if it was an elective I could have taken.
Yeah, well, this... We did... I wondered when they really started taking it out of curriculums. I don't really know. They don't have much in that way of things at my kids' schools, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. I think it's a fantastic thing, and I'm sorry they ever took any of it out, these practical skills. But what brought this idea up to me was my son, I was picking up from work. He's 17. He's just out of high school now. And he was watching this war happen on Twitter. And apparently these boomers are making fun of millennials for taking, like, knitting classes or a sewing class at college or something, or after college. And they're making fun of them. He's like, why are they making fun of him for, like, something that's actually useful? And yeah. He can make something? What the hell is going on? I'm like, I don't know. That seems remarkably stupid to me. I would never do such a thing. I mean, those are... I don't think it should have been taken out of school either. But boomers, that's a long time ago. Everybody had home ec then. They think it's a matter of fact that, like, and it's, oh, those shitty millennials don't know how to sew a button. They don't know how to do this. They don't know how to do that. You know, get off of my lawn stuff.
Yeah, and it's weird. Like, I know I think it started being taken out, I want to say, like, the 80s. 80s and 90s, because there was, like, these stigmas and stereotypes about people taking home ec and, you know, being Susie Homemaker, and I don't understand it. I don't understand sometimes how social norms shift like that.
I mean, I guess not everyone ditched it. I'm looking here at some history, and it says that in 94, they kind of changed what they called it. They started calling it, you know, Family and Consumer Sciences.
Yeah. They rebranded it. But it was the same thing.
It just focuses on going to university now. Like, school is about more school, and I find that unfortunate. Because I've had to teach my kids stuff that I learned in home ec and in shop.
Yeah, it's like, they don't teach life skills.
Yeah. Like, how to write a check.
They teach... Yeah, how to write a check, how to balance, well, you don't really, you can just do it online now, but balancing your checkbook, things like that, that was stuff I had to learn from my parents because they didn't cover it in high school or anything like that. And it's weird because schools are becoming much more, and I don't mean this in a bad, I mean, I guess sort of in a bad way, but they're becoming so much more like academic and book learning that they're not teaching people how to do, like, real world problem solving.
Yeah.
And, like, real world scenarios about things. It's like, the school system is failing you.
In so many ways. I can't even at this point. I hope they bring more of it back. Just like, I mean, it's like the fail of trades and not supporting that either.
Yeah.
Like, that's a huge mistake. Like, around here, they have some programs, but you always have to, it seems like you have to look. Like, the schools are always pushing college. It's like, hey, what have you got for a BOCES program? Or what do you have for trades? Or what do you have for auto mechanics? Like, you really seem to have to push for it. But cooking, sewing, finances, and I wonder if it was seen as sexist and stereotypical. I know certainly when I was young, there was some stigma to a boy who would want to take home ec. Or a girl who wanted to take shop.
Yeah, and that's so weird. And it's like...
But ditching the classes isn't a good way to deal with that.
No, it's not. And you were talking about, like the high schools pushing for college stuff. I remember my high school had the college prep, like way you could go, or you could go for your tech diploma. And like, I think a lot of us were pushed to go for college prep because it was like, oh, well, I mean, tech diploma is the easy way to go. You don't want to do that. You want to go to college. And no, it's not necessary.
So
I liked college. Like, it was fun, and I learned a lot, but it wasn't necessary.
Yeah, and it seems weird. Colleges got to add these programs, right? You can, yeah. How to cook, how to sew, basic child care, you know, stuff that you could have come out of high school with. And now, you know, but yeah, don't make fun of kids trying to do it. I mean, I learned a little bit of sewing in home ec. I remember, of all things, I made a plushie. I made a pink fuzzy softball. So it was about, you know, you had to learn how to make a dart because you're making something round. Mm-hmm. And how to do a basic running stitch, which is, you know, the only thing I used from then. And, you know, you turn things inside out and outside in, and that's all I had. It would have been nice if they had sewing machines and taught you to use that. Because, mm-hmm. you know, it was only a couple of years ago now that I paid a seamstress I know and took a class to get better at using my machine. I had gone as far as I could faking it.
Yeah, because especially now with a lot of the machines are pretty user friendly, but there's so many buttons. It's just like, I don't know. I'm afraid if I push this that I'm going to make it like smoke and catch on fire.
It is. It is a very intimidating machine, but then once you get in there, it's like, oh. Like all that just goes away. It is simpler than it looks. As soon as it's demystified, you're good. Like, my son was afraid. I was like, I'll show you how to use it. He's like, I'm afraid one slip I'm going to have a, like, tattooed finger. You know, like, no. No, it's not going to go in there under the foot without great force.
It's not, it won't. You're good.
It's not going to hurt you. You know, I will show you. And then once you do it, though, then you're off and running. But I remember it being I was scared of it. But cooking is a lot. I know so many people who don't cook. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know people my age who don't. My kids are, like, stunned. And some of their peers have no idea how to boil water.
Yeah. You know, I'm wondering if, like, that's kind of why the like, ordering in the pre-portioned meals is like a big thing now, because it gives you all the instructions and it gives you all the exact measurement things you need, and you don't have to think about it. I'm wondering if that's why, like, that's partially why it's kind of a big thing now, is because just a lot of folks just never learned how to cook.
I can really see that being a thing. Yeah. Cause people, I mean, it seems like as you have more technology, more access to the internet, whatever, you can look up, like, oh, I want to go eat here, and you look at your phone, and it's like, oh, you have these choices, and so it's like people are trying more new things than ever, but they have no idea how to create anything.
Yeah.
And, like, you can get these door delivery services and be... And I think they're a fantastic thing, because cooking can be intimidating, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, people come to me and they're like, how do you do all these things? I have no idea. I'm like, I wanted it, so I tried to make it, you know, and I'm not scared of it, but I know people who are just afraid to screw it up, afraid to waste things.
Yeah.
Well, but once you start doing it, and that's something they could have gotten in high school. They could have, like, at least, you know, here's how you fry a pork chop. Here's how you make a hollandaise sauce. Here's how you...
Here's how you boil an egg.
Macaroni and cheese. Right, how to boil an egg. Like, just the basic, I think we baked something at one point, like whether cookies or a cupcake, because that's something a lot of people, even people I know who are fantastic cooks, are afraid of baking. Mm-hmm. And some people who are great at baking are afraid of cooking. Like,
I will say, it is a different, it is not the same. Baking is very much a science, whereas cooking, you cook with your heart.
But the more I've baked, though, because I used to be more, I used to be really intimidated by baking. The more I'm doing it, the more I'm finding it does have more forgivability and flexibility.
Yeah, than I mean, I ever obviously, thought,
especially bread.
Definitely.
Yeah. There's like a lot more leeway there than you think there is. As you've got the basic science of like, okay, if I put this in here that's heavier, I'm going to have to add a little more baking powder, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, like if you're trying to make something like from a patisserie, like if you're trying to make macarons, yeah, you have to be super precise or they're not going to come out. But if you're making bread or you're making a cake, there's a little bit of leeway there.
But yeah,
and just that's something that they don't know. They just don't know.
So I think it was like a disservice removing these classes. I mean, I guess they thought, oh, but they'll be better educated for more important things and be able to go on to college and get a higher paying career. But I think we've done a really big disservice to not demystifying some basic life skills.
Yeah, let's give them Algebra 3, but we'll take out the cooking class.
Yeah. Because even though I only sewed, you know, a little plushie, at least then when something tore or a seam came apart, I knew how to fix it.
You could do that. Like, I've darned so many holes, and that's the technical term.
And measurements. Oh my gosh, yeah. People ask me for recipes, and then they don't know basic measurements. They don't know, like, that a small tea is a teaspoon and a capital T is a tablespoon, things like that. Just, that's something that would have been demystified in home ec, because they're not, you're not using those in science class, you're not using those in math class, right?
It just reminds me of, it was Sleeping Beauty, where the fairies are trying to make a cake, and she's like, now yeast, one tisp, and then, teaspoon, oh, of course, and it's just like, yeah.
Like, is it tibus to tablespoon? Yes. Capital T, small T.
But I was actually looking up, because I watched a bunch of anime, and if you're watching an anime that is set in a school, inevitably they have a home ec, like, episode, and it's a core subject. In most Japanese schools.
Okay, I was going to say, you're talking about anime. You must mean Japanese schools.
But in most Japanese schools, it's a core subject that they teach. Still? And I thought that was really interesting. Because, I mean, it's for a, like, slice of life school, and you've got the beach episode, and you've got the home ec episode at least once.
Yeah, I wonder when they started the decline of it in Canada, too, and how different it might have been. And I should probably have asked my husband before we started recording. Because I actually had to teach my husband to write a check.
Huh.
He had no idea what to do. I'm like, okay, I love you. The directions are on the check. Name goes here. Like, amount. You know, date, like, but the whole, my son got his first check, his paycheck, and the whole abbreviation by using, you know, cents of 100 when you write out an amount, when he got his paycheck, he's like, that's a really weird way to write that. He just expected it to be decimals. So he had no reason not to think it would be. He'd never actually seen the physical check. Yeah. And I'm not sure why they do that. I guess, well, for clarification, because like doctor's handwriting, like, you don't want it to screw up your prescription. You don't want them to screw up the amount they've given you because people have shitty handwriting. But if you write it all out like that, maybe.
Yeah, it's a longhand, I guess. So you can't. It might be easy to shift a decimal point. If you know, lengthen something a little bit and then add something, but
or have a splotch
trying to shift something that's written out like that is very difficult and it's very obvious when someone has messed with it. So,
it's an anti-tampering measure.
Yep.
That I think you're probably absolutely right about that.
Mm-hmm.
Neat. I never thought of that. But I think we should... I hope there is a serious resurgence, and I hope it is less gender pressured as it does come back. I know I loved Shop. I hated Hornibank. I wanted Shop. I'm kind of that girl, and I wasn't going to be, you know, caring about being made fun of, but certainly for more timid people, they end up taking mm-hmm. stuff they hate and they don't want to, and then they're discouraged from their education. But this could be so good to have back. I mean, I feel like there's a lot of people between 25 and, you know, 50 that have kids that they also didn't pass any of this stuff on to.
Yeah.
Which reminds me, I think I'm going to make that next weekend's task. I'm going to take my kids. I think they have been before, but the youngest one doesn't remember. But we'll have to go all out in the wood shop. And I'll show them how to mm-hmm. use the skill saw and the drill press.
Yeah. Like, I know how to use a bunch of that stuff because my dad basically has a wood shop. And he's had a wood shop for a while, so I know how to use a saw, I know how to use sanders, he's been teaching me how to use all new toys. Whenever he gets a new, like, woodworking toy, I get to come over and he teaches me how to use it. So I've had a very, like, rounded education in that, because... My friends have called my dad a modern day rinse man just because he has so many hobbies, and every time he learns something, he wants to share it with me. So I know a bunch of different, like, random skills that'll probably never come up ever, but I know them.
My dad gets a lot of high up hobbies too, and a lot of maker type stuff.
Yeah.
Right. He'll go to an art festival or, well, I mean, he wouldn't go to an art festival, but like that kind of street fair event, you know, with his wife or whatever, and there'll be somebody selling staffs. And he's like, for an outrageous amount of money, and he just gets mm-hmm. outraged. Shit, I can do that. And next time he's out hunting, he gets a bunch of, you know, gnarled tree roots and just sands them down, shellacks the hell out of them, and starts giving them to everybody he knows. You know, or like lawn ornaments, like they were you know, little alligators and shells and stuff to put in your garden. It was another of his year. He was like, shit, I can do that. And he went and got a bunch of pool sand toys and used them as molds and made all these cement, like, lawn ornament, garden ornament things, and painted them and gave them to everybody. Oh, all the mad pretentious assholes rip you off here. And I kind of love it, though. I love that way of thinking. I think I partially inherited that because I get, like, I can make that. Mm-hmm. Or I get something really, really good to eat somewhere. I'm like, oh, I can make this. I make this better. Yeah.
Well, and also... there's so many things. Like, I have on my phone, I have the Tasty app, which is basically, if you go on, like, it's part of, it's the Tasty channel, and they have all these, like, simplified recipes that you can follow, and they've got an app, and it shows you everything you need, and it tells you how to do it, and I'm just like, I guess if they're scared, they're not gonna try and, you know, get it, but there's just so many resources online now, so I don't know.
Cooking Network took me a long way. Like, Food Network
mm-hmm.
gave me, like, the confidence to try all kinds of things I had never had. And I realized I had another failing, a little home ec failing, because I feel like I've done really well teaching my kids some basic skills. Some cooking, a little bit of sewing. I just gotta get them back out in the shop. But Victor started this job. He's dishwashing in a restaurant. He's like, they've got this thing, and you can, like, slice stuff, like the tomatoes, the onions, like, so fast. It goes shook, 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 shook. And I'm like, I can't remember, but it's like a slope. And I was like, mandolin? Yeah! I'm like, we have one of those.
Yours is just big and on an industrial scale, but you got one.
I did not. He had no idea. He had, like, forgotten. I guess he'd never seen me use it. He wasn't paying attention when I was doing that sort of thing. And it has largely gone unused since most of the things I would use it for, I use my food processor for. Because
I need to see if my food processor still works. Last time I tried to use my food processor, it didn't turn on. So I need to see if it still works.
Oh, no.
And there.
I love my food processor.
Yeah, I probably would like mine if
maybe
I used
it. Not
it.
As much as my KitchenAid. It's hard to say. Because I use the KitchenAid less because I bake less than I cook. And for the food processor, I do stuff like spice blends. I run them through there because I make giant batches of Creole seasoning because I always keep it in the house and I also give it to people as presents. And mail it to Connor. And mail it to my friend in Maine. Like...
I gotta make more of my seasoning salt, because that stuff is good.
What's in that?
Some salt and pepper, some cayenne, some garlic powder, some onion powder, a little bit of paprika, all mixed together. It's delicious.
Yeah, I actually gifted a friend of mine. And that's another thing. I know a guy who cooks a lot. I think his wife does not. And that's adorable and attractive. I'll tell you guys, if you didn't know that, at least learn a couple things. You cook a woman dinner, that's a very happy thing. Especially if she can't.
Well, my husband makes the best steak. My husband is amazing at making steak, and so he'll make it every so often. I'm just like, this is great.
But I'm really broke trying to save up for my surgery and everything, and it was my friend Rick's birthday this week. I was like, and I'm in the dinner kitchen, I'm making dinner and running around, and I was like, I don't have anything for Rick. I'm like, wait, yes I do. Because I know he was really excited when I posted about my chili ancho rub I made for the steaks. And I've talked to him before about I cure my own pea meal bacon at home. And I was like, I can get the curing agent and I can measure it out. And I put it in my little baggies I use for jewelry. And I basically made him a kit. And then like my cookbook, it's got these stickers in it about, love and or the best animals are the one that cooks or whatever. And I stuck it on the Ziploc and wrote it on there in Sharpie directions. And then I took my BAM, the Creole seasoning, and a little jar of that, and a little jar of the chili ancho rub, or coffee ancho rub, and I put it all in, a bag from the comic book store, because that's a nice thick bag, and I met him downtown, and I'm like, here, and he was, so genuinely happy and excited. He's like, I'm gonna make so many delicious things, and, I couldn't have found something to buy him that would have made him happier. And so, once again, it's like, yes, having a few skills, right? Like, I know back when I made it, I sew the plastic bag dispensers. And you can get them whatever cool fabric you want. And I would have never even heard of such a thing, except my friend Beth's like, I have this thing. I want one for my daughters, get moving into a new house. Can you make this? Yes, I can.
Yeah.
And I stopped in the coffee shop the other day, and my Wonder Woman one sold. So I'm going to be making more. But now I want to know who the person in my town is that's hanging a Wonder Woman one in their kitchen. Because we should be friends.
Yes. Maybe we'll do... I had a thought for, a future episode. We could do our, signature recipes that we... it's kind of our go-to that we know will turn out every time. It'd be fun.
Yeah, I have a handful of those. Some are family secrets. Some are not. Although a lot of times the best stuff I make is stuff that I made up on the fly.
Pantry pillage. That's what I call it. Pantry pillage is like, what do I have? Let's throw it in a pot and see what happens.
Yeah. And had I, not cooked growing up. I mean, back to the whole home ec thing. People are afraid to do that. I might have been afraid if I weren't in a situation, although mine was a lot, my mom worked nights, so she just wouldn't be home and I'd be hungry. And you have to get past that being intimidated and you start throwing stuff together and experimenting.
Figuring out what tastes good together and what you know you shouldn't.
Like, I remember pulling stuff out of the cupboard and smelling it until I figured out how to season something. Like, I made this Asian slaw this week just because I was hungry. I had cabbage. I had some, like, Asian sesame ginger dressing. And I was going to make scones, but Victor ate most of my cranberries. I had my cranberries in the house for that. So I threw those in the slaw. And I had made that baklava a few weeks ago where I put the jasmine extract in the honey. I had leftover sliced almonds from that. I'll toast those up and I'll throw those in there. This slaw turned out so good. Like, the dressing was a little, you know, meh. So I was like, but I have toasted sesame oil and rice vinegar in my cupboard. And I just tossed it in and it turned out amazing. But I would have been afraid to if I weren't forced in that situation. And I think kids are getting out on their own, and that's how this boomer versus millennial shit's going on. They're getting out on their own, and they have no idea how to cook or sew. And then they take a class. So, hey, crotchety old people, offer to teach them how and save them some money, maybe, instead of making fun of them.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, times are changing, so gotta move on with it. So, if our listeners have any thoughts on this matter, you can chime in by emailing us at geekgirls@gmail.com, or you can give us a ring at 508-474-5577. You can also tweet us at geekgrills. You know, tell us if you know how to cook or sew, or if you've got some signature recipes. We'd love to hear them.
Or a cool pattern, so we can make stuff.
Yeah. So, Ember, what are you most anticipating right now?
So, I am saying this out loud and recording it so that I have to do it.
But saying it out loud in English.
Yes. I was at Heroes Con. I met an author and producer of a comic. And it was a fascinating discussion I had with him. I ended up buying the first four in the series. He gave me a fantastic deal on it. And then I took my friend Vinod back over there, and he bought the second four in the series. So hopefully I'll get them all read. And he would love to come on the show soon. The name of the comic is Yi Soon Shin. This is a comic that's based on a true story. It's a Korean warrior who fought the samurai off. And he was hopelessly outnumbered, like, but he just strategized and tactic, and he won like 23 battles in a row.
I watch extra history on YouTube. They did a little short series on him.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so like I know the story.
Cool. Well, I'm going to read this, and I'll show you the art next week. I'll have it up here at the desk with me, and maybe when I'm done, I can mail it off and you can read it. But the art is stunningly beautiful. The comics are a really gorgeous quality, and I'm looking forward to the story. It sounds fascinating, and this creator was so excited about it. I mean, he was just, I got to tell you, let me tell you about this. And he was just so into it, and if I like that and he's doing good work, I'll have him on regardless. We can just trash him. But he definitely wants to come on the show. And I've got, I might buy another book. Like I said, I was really short on money. I couldn't buy a bunch of stuff. He sold me all four of those for $10. So that was super awesome of him.
Yeah.
But he's got this other graphic novel that is his grandfather's story, who was like a Jew in Russia during World War II. And that also sounds incredibly fascinating. So, yeah. I'm going to be reading that this week, and then hopefully we'll have him on in the next week or two while I can still talk.
Cool.
And playing a lot of games, hopefully. I'll try to test the Ultimate Game Pass on my PC for all of your knowledge and enjoyment.
Tell us how it is.
So what about you? What are you up to?
This D&D game is playing. We're descending to level 2 of the Dungeon of the Mad Mage. So, level 1 wasn't much there, but I wasn't expecting much because, you know, lots of adventurers have been there before us.
So we're going to see lots of bones.
Lots of bones. We saw a giant snake that was a bone. I mean, it was all that didn't come out
bone
right.
Bone snake. Yes, giant snake. Bone snake.
Giant oh bone God. Snake. Shilbot. It was a skeleton. So that should be fun. And then on Saturday, I'm gonna be streaming with the Glitter Dice Girls. We're gonna be playing Monster Prom. Saturday. I don't remember if it's for our patron or our patron content.
Oh. Okay.
So it may be locked behind like a dollar. But yeah, like Kelly is super into dating sims, and she has, I think she has all but two of the achievements for Monster Prom. So now she's dragging me and Joey with her, and we're all gonna stream. We're gonna play Monster Prom like together. Like we're gonna be helping each other, trying to get certain things, and it should be a load of fun. That's what I'm gonna be doing on Saturday.
Right on. Mm-hmm. I'm doing a bunch of stuff. I don't remember any of it, and it's not in my calendar. Isn't that fabulous?
Mm.
Just saying. I know there's a bunch of stuff. Can't remember what it is. Nah. So anyway, remember folks, you can always come watch us record live at twitch.tv/geekgrills. On Tuesday evenings, our next one should be on June 30th at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern time.
Yes.
Well, in addition to the subs and bits we get on Twitch, please give us your bits. We are supported by our amazing patrons, the greatest grill friends on the internet. You become a patron at www.patreon.com/grills. And don't forget, if you have Amazon Prime, you can sub to us for free every month on Twitch.
Yes. What else, you know, what else you can do for free is you can leave us a review, which is great because it helps our ranking on any of our podcast catchers. Any of the podcast catchers, which can help other people find our podcast. You can also join us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter and help us spread the word there. Where can people find you on the interwebs?
Can be reached at 9 of 12 on Twitter and Twitch and on the Heresy and Hearsay and Trust Your Cake podcasts.
And you can also listen to me talk about women in gaming on the Glitter Dice podcast. And you can find me on Twitch under the name True Noob. That's TRUN00B. And you can find the Jen at The Jen Says on Twitter, streaming on twitch.tv/TheJenPlays, and find everything at TheJenSays.com because she owns it. So thanks for listening, everyone. Good game.
GG!
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.